2-2. Well hit down the left field line. Way back and gone.
Welcome back to Walk It Off. We're going to start our podcast by saying that obviously our thoughts and our hearts are with Las Vegas, whether you've been there yourself or you know someone from there or like me and are still waiting to go to this glorious place. Las Vegas is really special and we're thinking about you. There are players from all walks of sports who are from there and we're showing a lot of love yesterday, but Las Vegas is definitely on our minds. I'm Dani Wexelman. I'm with Gemma Kaneko and Ashley Chavez. It's Tuesday, October 3rd. We should just state that for the record. So anything we say today could be expired or irrelevant by the time you're listening to this. There were no game 163s, which was kind of sad. Yeah, but that's why we have the wild card game, right? We knew exactly going into Sunday who punched their tickets. So it was kind of a quiet day, except for everyone was waiting to see whether or not Giancarlo Stanton could reach 60 home runs. Ironically, he didn't reach 60, but he still set a new record with that hardest hit ball. So,
true. We were all wrong. We all went over 60 for him.
We did, yeah.
And we were all wrong.
Well, hey, I think he deserved
that. What is the fun of not going over 60?
Absolutely.
We had to.
Ashley, before we get started, I want to talk to you. You were at the game on Saturday when Matt Cain threw his last major league pitch. How was that?
Yes. Oh, man. It was freaking so emotional. It was a great time, and I didn't think that I would cry, but totally did. It was one of those, like, oh my God, I'm not even feeling emotionally that sad because I don't really understand what's happening, but my body reacted in such a way. It was very strange. It was beautiful, though. It was great. I was a little bummed because they took him out super early, and I figured that's what Cain wanted. They took him out in the sixth, and he was doing all right. So it was a little sad to see that happen because, you know, we're all hoping for him to go at least 8 innings or complete game. Who cares if they lose, because you have the rest of your life to rest that arm. So it was a bummer that he didn't go all the way, but it was a great time. And I'm still like kind of, it's just weird. It's all weird. You know, when a player that you've been watching for centuries now, it feels like, is gone.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but I'm just so grateful that he's a forever Giant, because it's so hard to get a forever, a lifetime player these days. He didn't spend one more season in one rando place. He decided, yep, you know, just call it here.
Really special.
In my career with the Giants. So it was beautiful.
Awesome.
Perfect.
I'm glad you got to be there.
Yeah, that's really great that you could be there.
I know. It was just fantastic. Once he announced that, because I was already going to this game, and once he announced his retirement, like 3 days before, I was like, are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah. Right? It was fate. It was meant to be. Okay, so let's play a little trend or trash. We are in the postseason officially because we've got the AL wild card tonight. Really exciting. Everyone's excited. So we're gonna start with first teams that are trending in your mind who are heading into the postseason full steam ahead. Which teams are those and why? Gemma, you go first.
Oh, well, it's got to be Cleveland.
Okay.
I mean, no team is hotter than Cleveland right now. Just win streak. Second sort of not as cool win streak, but still it happened for a minute there. This team just gets hot at the end of the season, which is when you want to get hot, and they have that momentum going into the postseason. So I think that they are really, really, really on the upswing here. I think that if you wanted to,
oh boy,
you could also argue that the Dodgers are on an upswing, because anything is an upswing.
They come back from what they went through. Yeah, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
They hit rock bottom.
It's also a reset. October is a total reset. So it doesn't matter if you had this weird, like, second half collapse-ish, because they didn't collapse. Like, they are still in the postseason. And over their last like 20 or so games, they have a winning percentage. So that is new. They get to start over. So I think that's good for them too. So I think those are the two big teams for me right now.
Ash, who you got?
Well, I mean, the most exciting team for me right now, and probably for a lot of people, just because who knew, is Twins. Also because my dad and I was home this weekend, so my dad and I were talking a lot about it, because we do this like little fun fantasy baseball thing with my dad and his friends, where we just pick four teams, and whoever gets the most wins the pot. It's very simple. You don't have to worry about checking anything. You know, just let's count the wins at the end of the season. And my dad picked the Twins because he had this, like, crazy faith in them. And I was like, okay, well, we'll see. It's the Twins. You're going to think 80 wins, and then they give you 50. But, yeah, he was right. So he's so stoked on him. So it was all we were talking about. So I'm going Twins.
Going Twins. Okay, I'm pairing with Gemma. I'm going Indians right now. I want to mention, I feel like the Dodgers basically ran out of that wiggle room, though. They crashed, but they didn't have any more room to crash. I feel like that division was slipping out of their hands really quickly, and they picked it up at just the right time. But I'm going with the Indians, too. And, I mean, I'm not saying Michael Brantley is going to do anything. I'm not saying that he should be playing. But you never know what that guy could do. They've been doing really well. I think they won 22 without him. So, you know, there's that. But the Indians, that's to that point, the Indians are excellent. They are above average, A++ team right now. And I just see them doing exactly what the Royals did. I don't think it's going to go any other way. I can't see another team that's better than this Indian team going all the way.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I...
All right.
Yeah, I want to see the Nats make it past the division series, but I don't see him going past the LCS.
It's also hard. Yeah. Well, our Statcast expert, Mike Petriello, did, while blindfolded, throw a dart at a board that predicted that the Nationals would only win the LDS.
And that's official.
That's as far as they would
MLB.com.
go. Yes, that's MLB.com Statcast guru. But I also think that they're losing momentum because of Scherzer's hamstring.
Yeah,
because all the news you get is always like, is this person going to be healthy?
And it's been their issue for years.
It doesn't really inspire a ton of confidence. Like, I would also have put maybe the D-backs up there, but since they are in this one, the wild card game.
We'll wait and see.
Yeah, we'll wait and see. However, I do think they had a ton of momentum at the end of the season.
I agree. And they've got Greinke on the mound.
Yeah.
Okay, what about teams? Do you see any teams trending downwards, quote-unquote trashing? Teams that you just think have run out of steam. They barely snuck in, and now they're probably not going to make it much farther.
Well, sorry, Rena. But it's the Red Sox.
Oh.
I mean, they almost lost the division to the Yankees.
True.
And they barely held on. Like, you talked about the Dodgers kind of not having room to feel, but they really did because they had padded their lead so much.
But still, like...
Yes, but the Red Sox...
Tom Petty, I love you.
Yeah, well, like, the Red Sox, you know, they have all these... They had all this, this like, vaunted offense at the beginning of the season, and it just never really panned out. And then the Chris Sale is bad as in... Chris Sale's bad in September is kind of true. So
not kind of. It was true.
Yeah.
It was
so true. This is the thing. It's like this team that had all these pieces going for it almost like got much closer than the Dodgers ever were to falling out of that division spot. And I feel like they also didn't have the boost that the Dodgers had, which is when they just started winning again. They're just kind of like, I guess they won one. They eked that one out. So they're going to just like barely hold on by their fingernails. And I just think that they are definitely not... on the top of their crest coming into October. Yeah.
Ashley, do you agree?
I absolutely agree. I was going to pick the Dodgers just because that's fun, but I don't believe that is true. I picked the Nationals because I feel like, it's just a cramp, you know, a bad leg cramp or whatever, and I believe that, but it just seems like that one thing, Max Scherzer obviously is what I'm talking about, that one thing that is going to tank the Nationals. And the Nationals are always just one thing away from tanking, even if they have a wild, successful season. So that might be the one. But, yeah, the Red Sox, too. I mean, you're right. They did almost lose it to the Yankees, and they never really had that resurgence like the Dodgers did. So I completely agree. I'm going to go Nationals just to be a little different.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to go with the Nationals. I think they'll squeak past the Cubs. Because I feel like the Cubs squeaked in. The Cubs,
I think so.
You know?
Yeah, the Cubs, yeah.
They squeaked in. I feel like they're running out of manpower. I think it's awesome that they're back. I think it's great for the city and cool for those guys who worked so hard last year to make it back. But I think that the Nats are going to outlast them. But then I think, again, in the LCS, whoever they face, I don't think that they'll have enough. And the Scherzer thing, it's not only huge just physically but mentally for that team, having a guy like that who's not healthy – or at 100%. Max Scherzer at 90% is still better than some pitchers at 100%. But
I would say that most pitchers,
definitely.
But still,
you got to have that guy at 100% when it matters most.
Yeah.
And this is it.
Because this is the postseason. This is when you have Clayton Kershaw. This is, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Guys who are coming out of the pen, like Clayton Kershaw, you know. So yeah, you can't be at 90%. All right. All right, so that's that. It's really exciting. Tuesday. Today is the day where everything starts anew. Okay, let's move to the NBA. Adam Silver fining teams for benching healthy players.
We've talked about this.
We did talk
on
about
this
it
podcast
because we yeah. thought I think we all were in agreement that you need to rest your guys. Obviously, if you come to the game to watch the big three, mm-hmm. and you pay a lot of money, but those guys need to rest, right? But yeah. also wait really quickly because Charles Barkley called these players babies. That's the word he used. I'm pretty sure he may have used another word that I'm not going to say, but he called them babies for not being able to play back-to-back. He's like, you make 40, 50 million. We have to treat you like you're crystal glass, and you can't play back-to-back games.
Well, I guess the question we asked them when we talked about this before is, what is the point of going to a basketball game? Like, are you going because you only expect to be entertained, or are you going because you want your team to have a chance to win a title?
Right.
And that I guess what Adam Silver has decided here is that it's like 80% entertainment, right? So that mm-hmm. if a fan goes,
yeah,
they
true.
Should be able to see their big name player no matter what. And that puts an incentive on the coach to focus more on the entertainment aspect than necessarily being like, I want all of my guys to be as healthy as possible for this push or whatever, which is a choice that was made,
yeah.
you know?
It's kind of like low key saying it too, though. He didn't straight up come out and say, hey, we're here to entertain our fans.
Yeah.
But that's what he's low key saying.
Yeah, that's the implication
he's
of this fine, I think.
He's subtweeting.
Which I guess I wonder, like, what is the point? Because this to me has all these different layers in it, and I don't know how you feel about this, Ashley, because you are going to have a team, like, your team is just going to win a lot of titles.
Yeah.
You know? So the question is, like, since another aspect of the game is that they're basically super teams now, and we're always going to see the same people playing each other in the finals, like, does it matter if we don't see them playing in some random game, like, in the middle of the season? I don't know.
The fine can be at least $100,000.
Yeah. Like, what do you think, Ashley? Like, if you were going to go to some random game, like, if you're, like going to go to, like, a Warriors, like, Milwaukee Bucks game, are you going to be mad if the big stars are sitting if you see them play for a title later in the season?
No, you're not. I mean, I think it's very silly. Of course, you are paying $300 to watch the Warriors play the Bucks, and it's like, okay, well, I just spent $300 to watch this stupid game. But who cares? That comes with it. And like we said last time, that's just what happened. It's more important to win a championship than for you to get your money's worth in this situation.
Right.
And if you feel like you're not getting your money's worth, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. It doesn't revolve around you.
So
but $100,000.
At
I
least.
Know that it was going to be a big fine, but that's crazy.
Adam Silver said, it ultimately is my hope that the rules go in the drawer and that teams step up here and see that there's a larger obligation to our fans, to the basketball community. So I think that the point I made a few months ago when we talked about this is, would you rather see your team lose a few during the regular season but make it all the way and get to the playoffs and get to the finals, but you may have rested a few guys and you may have bought a ticket for that game and you didn't get to see your favorite player play the game? I think that if you love the team and you're a fan of the team, then you would accept the fact that these are athletes.
Exactly.
And sometimes they need a day off. They're human just like us. This is their job. This is, they come to work. And yes, they train their bodies to play a full regular season. Yadier Molina trains his body to play 162 games, but things happen. And as a fan, if you can't understand that, then I question your love and your loyalty to
yeah.
your team.
No, I mean, but I also wonder if there's, like, another aspect of this is, like, maybe if tickets were less expensive to some of these games, then it wouldn't be as big of a deal. Because it's like, whatever, if I'm going to spend, like, under $30 to see my team and it's a fun game but I don't see all the big stars, that's fine. If I spend under $50, like, fine, whatever. If I spend over, like, $100 a ticket, I could kind of understand some of that fan ire of being like, oh, well, I spent my money that I saved to see this and this isn't the best possible game I can see.
Right.
Like, I kind of get that. I think there are a lot of things that feed into it. And ultimately, it's like, when I go see, like, I like watching international soccer. My team was here over the summer. I went and I was like, this is a meaningless game. It's totally meaningless. So I hope that the big stars don't play the whole time because I don't want them to be tired
right.
for when they play
a real game. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Even if it's like, I might never see this team play in person again. So like, ultimately, I'd rather see the, like, B team play
yeah
then see the A team play and a guy exhaust himself and then do a bad job in a real game. So I get what you're saying, but I also feel like fans have this level of investment when they're like, oh, I've been waiting so long and I'm not even going to see like KD, LeBron, whatever, you know?
I think that teams will not care about this fine and they will rest their players. They will not care. I don't see this having any impact whatsoever. Ash, you agree with that?
Absolutely. Yeah. And then, but at the same time, the teams with the most money have the most stars, so what is the impact on them? Like, say the Warriors, they don't play Curry, but they play everyone else. Do they still hit that fine?
Yeah. Well, it's going to be situational. It says, you know, based on how big the game is, if it's on national television. So again, that's kind of obscure. What do you get to base this off of? It's going to be very, very random. And then I feel wonder, it's going to backfire.
Yeah. Like our coaches are going to start being like, oh, well, he has the flu. Well, his ankle is weird. Like, how are they going to try to get around it? Yeah.
Lying or fudging injuries. Yeah. I'm not for
the
it.
Flu,
I'm trashing
this. The flu is going to be crazy this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, let's move on to quick hits. So just a little comment or two about these next couple of things. All right. Okay, Troy. Troy upset LSU last week, college football, on homecoming. Pretty big deal, I'd say. Are we still in favor of cupcake games? Why do I always struggle with that word? Cupcake games. Or do we feel like they're finally being recognized for their true potential? Ashley?
I'm still in favor. This is still a make it or break it Super Bowl type game for these smaller teams. That's so exciting. And when they do steal a win from these big boys, it's incredible. So it's very entertaining for me. I like it. I want to keep it.
Gemma?
I have changed my opinion, which previously I was against cupcake games, and now I have been swayed to the other side. I am now pro cupcake game because this is hilarious and I love the chaos. Yeah. And I actually am like, you know what, big teams, like, great, good, sorry. Yeah. Like, this is funny.
Yeah, give them a chance.
Yeah.
Just give them the platform and let them shine for a second and steal their money.
Yes.
Troy, you take that
steal
money.
Steal the glory
run.
And the money. I'm into it now.
Yes.
It's Robin Hood situation.
Absolutely. Okay, that's all we have for quick hits.
The quickest hit.
That was the quickest hit. All right, we have our fill in the blank. This is our favorite one. All right, my X factor for Cubs Nats is blank. Gemma.
I'm going to be really bold and say
bold.
Max Scherzer, because even though it was a hamstring injury, not any other injury.
Yeah.
I know Dusty Baker was like, maybe he'll be fine. I am going to say that he is going to be fine. He's going to come in. He's not going to start. He's not
gonna
game one
hit?
Starter. Pinch hit?
Yeah.
No.
You don't?
No.
He's got a decent bat, right?
The last time he got a hit, he had to leave because he was hurt himself.
Just kidding.
No, I think that he is actually an October monster. Like, I really do think for him, like, that October adrenaline is something that's really serious. So I'm not saying he's going to start a game. I'm saying it's going to be like a Tigers-esque, coming out of the bullpen, game five, shutting it down, Nats win.
Whoa. All right. That is bold. Ashley, can you top that? I think no.
Well, it's not the same, but I did pick Scherzer.
Wow.
Yes. So I picked Scherzer because I'm trying to get a theme going here. but two, because I think that's going to impact the Nats in a negative way.
Okay. I want to go back to quick hits really quick because I just thought of something. Does Giancarlo Stanton not reaching 60 home runs, if you had him as your MVP, take him off your MVP list? If he would have reached 60, would he be your MVP? We talked about this, but I want to know now what you think. He got 59. If he was your NL MVP, did he have to get 60 to solidify that spot? Or was he not your front runner?
Well, I just think that field is really crowded.
It is.
So if I had already decided that Giancarlo was MVP, I don't think the fact that he's one short of 60 would change that calculus for me.
Okay.
Because he's still hit 59 is a huge amount of home runs.
It's a lot. So many home runs.
And I think that if that's the reason you're on the Giancarlo train anyway.
So one like, more doesn't push you up.
Yeah.
Ashley?
Completely agree. I don't like when people make a deal out of just one or two. You know what I mean? Like in any stat.
All
right. They're so close to having this beautiful round number, but now they're not, so I'm not going to give them any awards, even though they had a really great season. I don't like when people do that. So, I completely agree with Gemma. If you were already on this train and you chose Giancarlo to be your champion, I think you still consider him to be your champion with 59.
Awesome. Did you guys see what Joey Votto said about his season? And it was his piece de resistance.
Piece de resistance.
Right? However you say that.
He's Canadian, so he probably speaks
Could
French.
You believe
I don't know
that?
If he does. But
I loved it.
I love Joey Votto so much.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to win it, but I feel like he has a lot of support, a lot of love.
Someone tell us if Joey Votto speaks French so that I can know and love him.
I definitely botched
even more.
That yesterday on 1225, trying to say that in French. All right. All right, anyway, we'll go back to fill in the blank. Okay, my X factor for Nats Cubs is Anthony Rendon, a guy who I think that he is a front runner for the NL MVP. I don't think he'll get it because he has no support around him at all because he doesn't want any. He just wants to focus on the team, so there's no campaigns, and I feel like it's not just a popularity contest, but that's a part of it. People need to see his name out there, and his name isn't out there, but I think he's going to have a huge effect on this series. My X factor for Red Sox Astros series is...
There we go.
Ashley.
So here's my theme, Justin Verlander. See what I'm doing here? Tigers, pitchers.
Love that.
Are my X factors. I think the Astros are going to beat the Red Sox. Sorry, Rena. I think that they don't need too much of an X factor to, like, really put them over the edge. But I think that a veteran pitcher with all this postseason experience, looking good for them.
Love that pick. That's a great choice, actually. He is low-key killing it right now.
Low key in there.
He's always low key killing it.
Is he 5-0?
Yeah.
At least 4-0.
Jamie.
5-1. Yeah, he's doing an incredible job, and I think he needed the change of scenery to really shine. Now he's given the chance. He's gonna try to take those Astros all the way.
He was shining on a losing team too, and I'm so
was he?
I want him to win a ring. Like I really, really, really want him to win a ring. I wanted to pick Justin Verlander, but I don't think he's an X factor because I think that
he's just always a factor.
You can't count him out.
Okay.
But I love this. I am going to pick another Tigers pitcher.
Oh boy.
As my X factor, and that's David Price.
Okay.
David Price coming out of the bullpen, which has been a really fascinating choice.
Great point.
And something like I don't have a ton of confidence in the Red Sox. I don't have a ton of confidence in their bats to heat up. However, I think we do know that October brings out a lot of energy in Boston teams.
Yeah. It's special. It's really extra special there.
So I don't know if their bats are going to heat up, but I do know that David Price is in his heart a starter, and he's going to be throwing like a starter in the seventh inning when he comes out of the bullpen, and it's going to be crazy and fast and hard, and it could go really well. That energy could take him really far, or it could be really scary and uncontrolled, and either way, it's going to be interesting to watch and to see what happens there.
Okay, I like that. I'm going with Craig Kimbrell.
I like this.
We don't talk about him ever.
We don't talk about him anymore.
We never talk him.
We used to talk about him all the time.
We don't talk about, we don't even talk about closers, but he's been lights out for that team, and he's been steady, and he's been the vintage Craig Kimbrell that the Braves saw for so long and that those fans got to see. And now I think he's on the stage, and I think he's gonna be super clutch for that team when they need it most, because those roles, the back end of the bullpen roles, oftentimes are the most important when it comes down to it. And we see in the postseason bullpens being used in so many different ways. You could see him come out for a 4 or 5 out save, and I think he'll rise to the occasion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, blank and blank. This is the boldest of the fill in the blanks. Blank and blank will face each other in the 2017 Fall Classic, and blank will be the 2017 champion of the World Series. Gemma.
I'm going to continue with my insane predictions, but mostly because my dad has like been writing me text fanfic about the specific thing. He's like predicting it, and he gets really in detail about all the different plays, which is hilarious. So the Astros will face the Arizona J.D. Martinez's in the 2017 World Series, and the Astros, led by Justin Verlander, will win.
Wow. I like it. I don't think that's a common choice out there.
No. I've stuck to the Astros my Astros pick since like March, and I feel good about that. My estimation of Arizona has obviously really
so
changed.
So did Sports Illustrated, right? Yeah. This is the year they predicted the Astros would go all the way too. Ash, who you got?
I also wanted to do Astros because that's just too much fun. And
guys,
also,
oh, man.
Very realistic. So, going to go Astros. So, I'm going to say the Astros are going to face the Dodgers.
Okay.
And the Dodgers are going to get swept by the Astros in the World Series. And that's the last time they make it to the World Series. So, I don't have to deal with this ever again.
Dang. Okay, I'm going Indians Diamondbacks will face each other in the 2017 Fall Classic, and the Indians will be the 2017 World Series champs because they deserve it. Okay.
I'm glad you got weird too, though.
Yeah.
You and I, we both have Arizona coming in.
I'm into that for sure. I want to see the Rockies win that game, to be completely honest, because I want Nolan Arenado and Charlie Blackman.
They won't go any further. That'll
yeah.
be it.
Exactly.
I am so invested. Like, I'm way more invested in the NL wildcard game than I am in the AL one.
For
and
sure.
I kind of wish that we could just, like, I want to watch the AL wildcard game, but I also want both NL teams to move forward and neither AL team.
Yeah.
It's just an all NL postseason.
Yep.
Who cares about the AL? That's how we rule in our world. All right. October baseball is blank.
A communal experience full of joy and wonder Aww. And emotions. I love postseason baseball because for the most part, we're all watching the same game at the same time.
Yeah.
And like everyone can talk about it and feel unified by it. And I love it. I love it so much.
Ash?
Yeah, October baseball is the best.
I love it. All right, I'm going to close it out. I'm going to go with October baseball is the gift that keeps on giving, and it's so special, and we're here, and October is my favorite month, and I just think that this is the biggest stage, and these guys get to shine so dang bright, and I love it. So that's what we got for you. Next week, we're going to recap everything that happened. We've got division series coming up at the end of the week, and the wildcard games will have been decided, so it's going to be really, really electric come next week. So thanks for hanging out with us, and we will catch you next time.
Now the 2-2. Well hit, down the left field.